Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. As we roll on through this Wednesday afternoon, don't forget our high school football roundtable is coming up tomorrow from 3:35 to 4. Our announcers on Eagle 107, 100.9 The Valley, WMLP, and WKOK will preview the games that you'll hear Friday night. Can you believe it's already the third Friday night of the high school football season? That's unbelievable. And now everybody's, you know, a lot of talk about Penn State Pitt. Of course, tomorrow night, too, Carolina and Denver open the NFL season. And that's the first time the two Super Bowl teams will meet in the opening weekend head-to-head since the Chiefs and the Vikings did in 1970. And remember, of course, that the Chiefs beat the Vikings in the Super Bowl IV, 23-7. The Vikings then beat the Chiefs in the opening game of the 70 season. And that was up at Bloomington, by the way. Now, for Viking fans, that was obviously 8 months too late, but still they did it. Penn State Pitt coming up Saturday at Heinz Field. It's also the opening weekend of the NFL season. Eventually we'll get to college basketball. There's a guy, you know, the Eagles fans are so fortunate to have the great Merrill Reese. Temple fans are so fortunate to have the great Harry Donahue. And Pitt fans and Steeler fans are so fortunate to have Bill Hillgrove. Of course, you hear Bill now on 100.9 The Valley, now carry the Steeler broadcast. Bill Hillgrove is a legend with no ego. He is a first-class guy with that smooth sound, that soundtrack of our sports lives out of Pittsburgh. For decades, the play-by-play voice of Pitt football. For 4.5 decades, that's right, 45 years plus now, the play-by-play voice with Dick Grote of Pitt basketball, and of course, filled the huge shoes of Jack Fleming as the play-by-play voice of Steeler football, and has been awesome with Tunch Ilkin and Craig Wolfley. Very pleased to bring in someone I have great respect for, the outstanding Bill Hillgrove. Bill, welcome. It's great to hear that voice of yours.
I'm great to hear your voice, Steve. How's it going?
Going really well. Did you enjoy a little trip up to Canada?
I did. We go every year to a little town called Niagara-on-the-Lake. It's on the southern shore of Lake Ontario. And it's peaceful, and there are flowers everywhere, and lots of wine stores, and very good theater. So it's a nice week.
That is a really nice week and a great time to recharge. And now as you get back, a lot on the horizon, a lot on the plate. The Steelers will go to camp. I'll start with that and then eventually get to a little bit of Pitt as well. But Steelers going to camp, what are the general impressions and your thoughts going in as they start this thing out?
Well, I think their trend line is up, and everybody kind of knows that. And they look at the offensive trio of Ben and, Antonio Brown and, of course, Le'Veon. But it goes deeper than that. You know, this is going to be one of their best offensive lines in recent memory. And, Steve, I'll go back a couple of years. They talk about off-season acquisitions and how they project which teams did well and which didn't. Nobody looked at Mike Munchak as an addition in the off-season. But ever since then, you've seen this line get better and better and better. Now, health has something to do with that, but it's more Mike Munchak. And I think that line is probably going to do as good a job as any O-line in the AFC. That's my opinion. Defensively, they've got to fix some holes. But with, Cameron Hayward back and playing in Pro Bowl form, the quiet emergence of the kid from Notre Dame on the other side, the speed at linebacker is astonishing. You know, recently, and Mike Tomlin told us this at the rookie luncheon back on the 8th of June, that morning, Ryan Shazier challenged the Steelers receivers to a 40-yard dash after practice. And Darius Hayward Bay, the veteran, the crafty veteran, said, "No, I'm not getting involved in that," because I think his best speed is behind him. But he beat three of the Steelers' receivers. Now, Martavis Bryant wasn't one of them, but Sammy Coates was. Coates caught him at the finish line. And he also beat Antonio and Marcus Wheaton. So for a 238-pound linebacker to beat wide receivers, it's astonishing.
You mentioned the offensive line in that answer, Bill. What does a healthy Pouncey mean to the overall balance of that line?
It'll be much athletic. You'll see him pull more and get into the second level. And as good a job as Cody Wallace has done, and, you know, Doug Legursky before him, you know, they don't have the athleticism that can get you into that second level. And that's where 4-yard gains become 8-yard gains. And you'll see that in the run game. So I think it's going to be, it's going to be a great, I wouldn't say an addition, but it'll be a great reclamation.
You mentioned, obviously in the draft, Artie Burns was picked in the first round, and then Davis was picked in the second round. And I saw Davis a couple of times against Penn State at Maryland. I really like him, and I think he's an NFL-level safety if he keeps on his progression. What was your thought on how they drafted, and when you talked to Mike Tomlin, what was his feel for it?
Yeah, he says he's a football player, and that kind of describes it, and that is as good a compliment as an NFL player can receive. When somebody said, "You're a football player," they're saying that you know how to play the game. You play it with zeal. You play it with no fear. And I think he fits that bill perfectly well. Let's face it, since Polamalu has gone into retirement, you know, there's a need there. And, there's an age factor as well that they've got to figure to replace. You can't ask Will Allen to keep doing it time after time after time. So, they have a needed safety, and I think he'll fill it, maybe not right away, but he'll get a lot of snaps.
I know, in working with Jack Ham, and we talk often about what's going on with the Steelers, and he's always told me about Le'Veon Bell, that what he really likes about him, and he does everything well, but that he runs his routes like a wide receiver. He cuts routes like a wide receiver. Off that knee, is that something you'll watch for, Bill, early as to whether he's rounding those routes now or if he's still cutting them? Because he can't be covered by a linebacker or a safety when he does that.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and Jack's spot on. And we'll keep an eye on that. But I think he didn't show a lot in OTAs. They're giving him all the leash that he needs to get perfectly healthy. But I think once he's full tilt in practice, you'll see it. I can't imagine him rounding any routes. And if he does, guess what? D'Angelo's going to get more snaps than he reckoned for. So, they've got the depth there. They do, and it's amazing. But Le'Veon, he was described by no less Ladainian Tomlinson as the best all-around back in the league. This was a year and a half ago, and nothing has changed to make my opinion go the other way. So, a lot will be expected.
Yeah, no question. The tight end spot without Heath. They did make a move in the offseason. What's your thought on that spot that has been so important to the running game as well as the pass game for the Steelers?
Yeah, I think it will be by committee. Jesse James, it looks like it's his time, but they won't ask him to play every snap because of the acquisition of Ladarius Green, who can do a little bit of blocking but a lot of receiving. They released Matt Spaeth today. He didn't pass his physical. So they added another tight end, kid by the name of Dixon. I think he played at Tulsa, but I'm not sure about that. I think it'll be by committee. And also, Steve, that tight end is not used like it used to be. There's more H-backs now than there are tight ends. So that's something to keep your eye on as well. Will Johnson can fill that role, depending on what the defense wants to do and where field, you know, field position, down and distance and time and so forth. So, you know, I think it's going to be a committee thing.
Bill, years ago when both Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown were together, Steelers were the ones that early on said, you know what, we're going to give Antonio Brown the long-term contract. What was it that they saw early that has really paid such great dividends? Because obviously their evaluation of the situation was spot on while others weren't spot on about it.
Work ethic. There is none better in professional sports, not just the NFL. In any professional sport, nobody works harder or longer than Antonio Brown. And in the words of Mike Tomlin, he's in ridiculous shape, so guys get tired of chasing him. And I think he wins that battle of attrition. You know, after running route after route after route, the DBs say, man, I can't keep up with this guy. He's the Energizer Bunny. He can run all day, which I believe he could.
It's amazing. Also, when you return kicks, you have to have a feel. When you watch him return kicks, Bill, the instinct, what stands out about his instinct and feel for it?
There's no fear. You know, he feels that when that ball's in the air off the punter's foot, that he's in control. And he's figuring, you know, where are they coming from? How fast are they coming? How fast is the ball going to get here? And that's all kind of mapped out, and he takes a picture before it happens. It's like, what is it, cybernetics? Is that what they call it?
Maybe.
And he's got that ability. You know, there are a lot of people say, well, he's going to get hurt. No, I don't think that is necessarily true. If he were returning kickoffs, yes, I'd say there's a good chance he's going to get clocked. But the punt returner oftentimes determines what happens. And he determines who hits him and when they hit him and if they hit him. So I'd continue using him there unless they find a return guy that's better. And that remains to be seen. We'll watch for that at camp as well.
Yeah, Roethlisberger, obviously, I haven't even asked you about him yet, but I mean, there can't be – he's in that group of quarterbacks where I think you pick which one's the best one in the league, and I don't think he gets maybe even enough recognition there.
I don't think he cares. He knows what he can do.
Good.
He's an ultimate competitor. He understands the game, and he also fully understands – what Todd Haley wants to do with that football. And I think you get that into the area of lethal combination and execution. And, you know, it can be tough. Let's face it, the great ones play their best football. Great quarterbacks play their best football after the age of 30. And we've seen too many examples of it. And, Steve, if you got number 7 at quarterback, you have a chance to win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And there's only 5 or 6 of them in the league where you can say, they have a chance. He's one of them.
Absolutely right. I have to ask you a little bit about Pitt here. One of the great stories, above all, is that James Conner is doing well. For everyone around, I mean, from the outside looking in, we're thrilled. Inside, they must be just thrilled beyond words because everybody says he's a great guy.
He is. He's a thank you, please, yes or no, sir guy.
Yeah,
but you saw the pictures of him. He wasn't allowed to hit in the spring drills, but he could do almost everything else. And here he is running up and down the field with a surgical mask on because he was subject to contagious diseases because of the chemo. You know what he did? He took a page out of Merle Hodges' book, and he talked to Merle, and he talked to a few other guys, including that fellow from Kansas City. Who was it, Eric Berry?
Eric Berry, yeah.
Who went through the same thing. And to a man, the two of them said to James, you're going to feel like a dog after the chemo. Try to put that out of your mind and go work out the next day. And he did it every single time. So he had 12 treatments. But after each one of them, no matter how sick he felt, he went out and did, the things that can help his conditioning and his heart. And I tell you what, it's a real study, but he was wise in the pattern that he followed, both Merle Hodge and certainly the kid that plays for Kansas City.
Boy, that's tremendous. And, of course, with Allison already back, and I'll tell you, guy, I'm watching tape, Bill, I really am impressed with Nate Peterman. What do you like about him? What does he bring to what they want to do there?
Well, you know, I watched him closely in the spring game because Matt Canada, the new offensive coordinator, has him out of the pocket a little more than he's used to. And that's one of the wrinkles that you'll see. But he may have misfired a couple of times in that spring game, but never, ever once did I see him throw to the wrong receiver. And you can't replace that experience. And that's why, as a senior now, they expect him to be able to carry more of the load than he did in the past. And I, you know, okay, there's no Tyler Boyd, but maybe that's good. Maybe he'll look to other people. Dontez Ford is a quality receiver, mm-hmm. the transfer from Syracuse,
yep.
kid from McKees Rocks. And they've got a couple of young guys that can fly. And so, I think the coaching staff must be convinced that they have enough receivers. Otherwise, they wouldn't have taken Elijah Zeiss, the young man from North Allegheny High School, and turned him from receiver into a linebacker. So, it's going to be something to keep your eye on, who gets the ball the most times. But, you know, they've got receivers. Zach Challingsworth, he made a couple of catches last year in the Duke game that defied description. And that kid's got good speed. So I think they're okay there. They have a transfer from UCLA that's going to figure in the tight end mix with J.P. Holtzgon. But Scott Orndorff is, you know, he's a quality tight end, and especially an effective weapon in the red zone. So I think that's stuff you can look for.
Yeah, I think what that's I think it's what Chris Clark from UCLA, right?
Yes.
Yep. You know, it'll be interesting because this year it'll be September 10th football, Penn State, Pitt, and then December 10th it will be at the Prudential Center. And Kevin Stallings, who actually became a friend here because his son Jacob was a catcher for the State College Spikes when he came out of college. So this will be fun, I think, over the next few months for us here.
Yeah, the kid's a good player, and it's a great story. Yeah. And that picture in the paper, Father's Day, was wonderful stuff. You know, I think it's his time is still ahead of him.
Yeah.
It's a little too early, but you know, because of need, they had to bring him up. It's going to be a great story to follow. Meantime, Pitt and Penn State are playing the second end of that Prudential doubleheader on that Saturday.
Yeah.
So, Steve, I got to rely on your expertise because you have to bounce around too. How do I get from Newark to Buffalo for a 1 o'clock kickoff the next day?
That's a great question. I would like to tell you to go over to Liberty, get a flight, and take it that night.
Well, maybe that's what I'll do, but thank goodness they're afternoon games.
Thank goodness they are afternoon games. That was because that's the first thing I thought of when I looked at it, literally, was like, that's a Saturday, and I thought, I wonder what Bill's going to do about the Bills game. Oh,
well, you know, if it doesn't snow a foot in Buffalo, I have a chance to make that scene. So we'll see how it shakes out.
Hey, Bill, always a pleasure. Can't wait to talk to you again. Can't wait to see you again as well. Thanks for carving out some time, and I hope it was a great vacation for you.
Steve Jones, always a pleasure to work with you. You're one of the guys in the business that I truly respect. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Well, that means a lot coming from Bill. I appreciate that very much. Very kind. He didn't have to say that. I appreciate it very much. And it's going to be Penn State Pitt Saturday. Heinz Field, looking forward to it. It's great to see James Conner back. James Conner, of course, he's gone through everything. You know, I mean, the knee injury, but that's a football-related injury. Then, of course, coming back from leukemia, it has been a remarkable story. Jack Ham has played in a couple of charity golf tournaments where James Conner was there. And this is before, by the way, he underwent cancer treatments and so forth. And I remember Jack talking to me last year and saying, he says, you know, he says, this guy's a great guy. He's a first-class guy all the way. And then all of a sudden you hear he has the leukemia diagnosis. Now, he's worked out hard in the offseason. He may have had a little rust in the opener, but he's a heck of a running back, former ACC Freshman of the Year, and a terrific player and a great story. You have to admire what James Conner has done to get himself back into the lineup and start for Pitt. And anybody has to admire that kind of guts and perseverance and that will to get yourself back. Admire that very, very much. And Penn State will play Pitt Saturday. Nate Peterman, good quarterback. Manages the game well. Doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Their wideouts are no better than okay. Orndorff, the tight end, is very good. And you see Conner and especially that center guard combination, really good for Pitt. Defensively, Whitehead, Price, and Thrift inside. So 9, 5, and 6. Those are the numbers to watch for. Those three guys defensively can flat out play. And Henderson is an excellent returner. He's a really not only that burst that you need to do that job as a returner, but he also has a really good feel for it that you can see. But you know what? It's an even matchup in a lot of ways, and that's why we're looking forward to it. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Craig Meyer, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, next on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour of the show. Don't forget our high school football roundtable coming up tomorrow from 3:35 to 4 to get you ready for the Friday night high school football games. You'll hear Sealands Grove and Eagle 107. WMLP will have Milton. Shikalimi on News Radio 1070 WKOK and Lewisburg on 100.9 The Valley. Our announcers tomorrow will preview the games in what, can you believe, is the third week of the high school football season? It's the third Friday of the high school football season. By the way, I'm thrilled for Kevin Herr's son. I guess he got in the stat sheet, made a couple tackles his last game. That's great. Thrilled for him. Had to be a very proud dad moment to hear the name over the public address system. We're thrilled about that. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. And it actually goes to Major League Baseball. I've talked about this before. Major League Baseball is the only one that changes its roster rules right when you're in the thick of who's going to be in the playoffs or not. Right when you're in the thick of pennant races, you change the rules. They go from a 25-man roster to a 40-man roster. The Red Sox, for example, are carrying four catchers right now. Four. They're also carrying pinch runners. Teams are carrying extra pitchers. In fact, it was on this day, I didn't say this in the this day in sports history, but it was on this date in sports history that the Yankees, I can't remember the year, I want to say it's the 40s or the 50s, used 10 pinch hitters in a game. Well, of course you can use 10 pinch hitters in a game. Why? Because you have a 40-man roster and you have 10 pinch hitters available. So baseball is the only sport. I mean, it's not, hockey doesn't go from 20 to 30 right in the last month before the playoffs. The NBA doesn't go from 12 to 20 guys in the last month before the playoffs. The NFL doesn't expand its roster from 45 to 70 in the last month right before the playoffs. We're using guys left and right. But baseball plays under one set of rules for 5 months. And then in the final month of the season, they change the rules and they expand the roster. Now you have extra pitchers. Now you have pinch runners, maybe a pinch hitter. You have extra catchers. There's all sorts of things. As I told you, the Red Sox recalled Christian Vasquez yesterday. And he's their fourth catcher now. They can do anything they want. They can pinch run for him. They can pinch hit for him. I mean, there's all sorts of options because you have three other catchers waiting on the bench, which you don't have in the bench in August. Most teams carry two, and they then have one of the infielders or outfielders trained as a spare third guy. Well, in September, you don't have to worry about it. We've got a luxury of riches over here to select from. I'll give you an example. The Cardinals beat the Pirates last night. And Carson Kelly, who started his career here in State College, he was a third base when he was here, was converted to being a catcher. Well, they just called him up with St. Louis. And he delivered a big double to knock in a run. Now, he wouldn't have been called up with a 25-man roster. But he's influencing the outcome of the race. And by the way, I'm thrilled for him. Carson Kelly's one of the nicest guys I've been around. And you can see a great natural talent. But, yeah, baseball. Let's change the rules at the most crucial time of the year. And go from 25 to 40 on the roster. I know it's something that baseball has done for decades. It still doesn't mean it's right. And for those who say, well, you know, it gives teams like the Phillies, for example, a chance to look at their young talent. Agreed. Agreed. But remember, too, that the number of teams that are in playoff contention has grown exponentially with the addition of the second wild card. There are two-thirds of the teams still fighting to get into the playoffs. It's not like the old days when you did this, where maybe three or four teams, two in each league, were battling it out to see who would win the pennant. And the other 16, eight in each league, were just going through trying to check out prospects. It's all different now. It's changed. Craig Meyer, outstanding writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He covers Pitt football. And we welcome Craig in. Craig, what were just some of your opening thoughts on what you watched between Pitt and Villanova last Saturday at Heinz Field?
I don't think that I got way too much. It was a, I think from Pitt, it was a pretty underwhelming performance, I think. I think players will tell you that, now that we can talk to them. Coaches will tell you that. I think fans would tell you that. I think part of that was intentional. Pat Narduzzi, when he was asked about it yesterday, about if their offensive play calling showed any kind of restraint, he denied that being the case. But there were some pretty vanilla looks. I don't think they're trying to show their hand too much with that Penn State game coming 7 days later. So I think that this is still a team. I think that their defense looked great. The only touchdown that they gave up to Villanova came on a fumble on offense. Villanova recovered in the end zone. I think their defense was sort of in a bend, but a not break mode. Villanova had a few drives that would get near the Pit 35 or the Pit 40, and they would hold it from there. But overall, I mean, the team we had heard about that had this great group of running backs and this offensive line that plowed big holes for them, we didn't really see that. So I think the Penn State game, I think this will almost be the first game where we really start to get some kind of grasp on this team and who they're going to be.
Craig, I don't think there's anybody in America that people root for more than James Conner because of this incredible comeback he's had to make to get to this point. Football-wise, how good did he look, and were there any signs of maybe some rust? Because, look, he's had this long layoff, including a long layoff from working out.
Yeah, I think there were definitely some signs of rust, especially earlier on, where he was having some trouble getting any sort of sustained runs. I think as the game went on, you could sort of sense this palpable increased level of comfort from him. Mm-hmm. I think that touchdown was kind of a cathartic moment for him, you know, especially the way that he did it, just running through a player for about 5 yards. It was a run that was sort of reminiscent of a lot of the ones that helped make him such a beloved player and helped make him the ACC player of the year a couple years ago. I still think that there is some rust to work out. I don't even know how much of it comes from a physical aspect. Even while he was undergoing chemotherapy, he was still working out pretty voraciously. I think part of it is almost more instinctual, like being in the rhythm of a game, knowing maybe how patient to be to wait for a hole to open up, things like that. So I think as the season goes on, I think that's something that you'll really start to see a lot more of. And I think naturally too, in his case, I wouldn't say there were nerves, but you know, except there was such a buildup to that game, both externally and for him personally. I mean, that was what he was working toward that entire time when he was enduring all that he had to with his battle with the cancer. It was, hey, I want to be back on the field September 3rd. So I think when you build it up to be that sort of a momentous occasion, there's naturally going to be a little anxiousness that comes with it, but I would certainly expect him to be a better version of what he was Saturday in the right. in the games coming forward here. You know, he's not typically a guy who's going to average just 3.1 yards a carry like he did then.
Right. Nate Peterman, the transfer out of Tennessee. Where is he from game manager to big playmaker? Is he somewhere in the middle? Is he more one way or the other?
You know, I would say he probably falls a little more toward the game manager side. You know, I think when you talk about guys who sort of inherit that role and who kind of, you know, and who are kind of labeled that way, it's seen as a bit of a slight. I think in his case, you know, he's someone who's not going to turn the ball over much. I think last year he was definitely fortunate to have a wide receiver like Tyler Boyd, who is so dynamic and who can make so many plays seemingly out of nowhere. You could tell against Villanova, while Peterman's trying to gain sort of an increased comfort level with a relatively inexperienced group of wideouts, you could tell he was leaning on Scott Orndorff a little bit more as a tight end, right. A very reliable target. I think that Peterman, he was somebody who last year surprised a whole bunch of people. And I think this year their group of wide receivers is maybe a little bit deeper even than it was last year, even if it lacks the star power of a Tyler Boyd. But I don't think a lot of that was apparent on last Saturday against Villanova. And, you know, and again, as I mentioned earlier, I think part of that was by design.
Craig, it's a defense, I think, that has, what, 8 of 11 back from last year anyway. So I don't really need the Villanova gauge as to what they do defensively. But with the guys that they have, give me an idea of what Pat really likes to do defensively, especially with guys like Whitehead, Ewan. They've got a lot of guys that can just flat out play in this group, and there's a lot of speed out there.
Yeah, I think you kind of touched on it there. I think he really wants to emphasize speed. I think he wants to emphasize pressure, you know, getting to the quarterback. I think a whole bunch of defenses like to do that, you know, at least philosophically. Except you can go back to Pat's time at Michigan State and see how some of those defenses would function. They would have some, they would have some very fast, athletic, speedy guys who played with a really aggressive mindset and could get around the field. And with some of the guys you mentioned earlier, with guys like Jordan Whitehead and Juan Price, you certainly see that.
Yeah, no question. It's something he liked to do, not so much at Cincinnati when he was there because he didn't quite have the personnel he had at Michigan State, but he played a lot of man coverage. That way he could unleash the other 9 hounds. Does he feel like he has that at Pitt, or does he have to be a little more creative in coverages because he may only have 1 lockdown corner, not 2?
Yeah, I think he's got that to an extent at Pitt. There was a lot of there were some questions going into the season here about a couple of their cornerback spots. But I think when you have a guy like Jordan Whitehead anchoring it and sort of presiding over it there in that free safety role, I think that you ultimately don't have to worry about giving up too many big plays. But I think I think when you've got that, kind of an anchor, you probably feel all right. But obviously, with this group here, I think we're probably going to learn a little bit more as the season goes on. Obviously, that'll start Saturday with Penn State.
Give me an idea. You see Whitehead all the time. What's allowed him to become a special player? What are the attributes that he has that Penn State fans will get their first real look at on Saturday?
He's a really, really well-rounded athlete. He's someone who's sort of I don't necessarily want to say a rare combination, except he has sort of a combination of speed and strength that where you can watch him play a few plays, you can watch highlight tape, and you can tell that guy's sort of someone. If he doesn't make the NFL, he's a sort of built like a prototypical NFL defensive back. And I think for Pitt's sake, in terms of how they like to function as a team, he's a very dynamic two-way threat. They used him on offense some last year. They've been pretty mum about it in the preseason about whether they're going to continue doing that. But I wouldn't be shocked to possibly see him in some special packages on offense on Saturday. He's just really, I was lucky enough to cover him in high school, and even then you can just tell there are just some guys who are just so far above and beyond as far as their talent goes and as far as their athleticism and their instincts go. And he's someone you could tell even then was going to be destined for some pretty big things.
Kadri Henderson took another kickoff back for a touchdown. You have to have great feel to be a return guy as a punter or as a kickoff return guy. The feel is not talked enough about. I'll tell you, I watched the tape of the kickoff return, and his judgment, and then once he made that decisive move, he was gone. What dimension does he add that can change the dynamics of a game?
I think really like any kickoff return, there's a certain amount of speed there. Obviously that's how those guys get into those spots. I think when you look at him and you kind of go back to what he did Saturday, I had written some off of the game about this. He was really someone, obviously James kind of deservedly got a lot of the attention that came with that win, not only with the two touchdowns, but just his comeback. But really the guy I think offensively that made the difference for that team was Kadri Henderson. I mean, they were locked in a 0-0 game. He takes a punt return back, 30-some yards to the Villanova 32, sets him up for their first touchdown drive. Then he has another pretty sizable punt return, almost for 20 yards, gets him back near the Villanova 30. They get another touchdown before half. And then with the kickoff return there to open up the second half, that just broke everything open. So, I mean, really, I think against Villanova, even though all the plays came on special teams, I mean, he was definitely their offensive MVP. And if their offense struggles even close to the same extent that they did against Villanova against Penn State, I think that he's going to be someone that they're going to have to rely on and kind of turn to and hope that he can break some similar plays.
How often have you been asked about this game in the last 9 months, and what has this week been like for you?
This week's been pretty fun. It's some people talk a whole lot about it. I remember I was an intern in about five years back when they first announced that the series was going to be returning.
Right.
And I I'm a transplant here to the Pittsburgh area, so I didn't know a whole lot about sort of the history with Pitt and Penn State. I always thought of Pitt and West Virginia with the backyard brawl. But, I mean, it takes maybe a couple months of living here and of seeing their fans sort of go back and forth with each other to realize what a big deal it really is. And that's something when you talk with Scott Barnes, with the AD here at Pitt, when they rave about their ticket sales and how much excitement there is over this game, the question I always come back to is for them to be able to actually witness that environment, see what's going on, and to take that all in, if that'll change sort of how he or maybe even Sandy Barber views trying to get an extension done on this series as soon as possible, because I think you've really seen sort of the raw passion and the excitement that surrounds college football in a pretty football-mad state. I think you've seen that really reignited here over the past couple years. I mean, it's been really great to see.
Craig, an absolute pleasure. You do outstanding work for the Post-Gazette. Enjoy reading your stuff very much, and we appreciate the time you gave us here today.
Oh, great, Steve. Thank you.
Craig Meyer, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, does outstanding work. It was great to have him on to give us a full and complete, really a comprehensive look at Pitt football and what they did in the opener against Villanova. The second game is going to be a mystery game in a lot of ways. I think there's no doubt that this will be a better Pitt team than what we saw against Villanova. I don't think there's any doubt this is going to be a better Penn State team than what we saw against Kent State.
And it's going to come down to matchups. There are certain matchups that really do favor Penn State in this game, and there are certain matchups, I think, that really favor Pitt in this game. You know, the turnover margin is going to be big. Can Penn State do enough against the Pitt ground game, James Conner and company, to force Nate Peterman to win the game throwing the football? Can Pitt do enough to slow down Saquon Barkley to get Penn State out of its comfort zone and on the road make Trace McSorley make some throws? I mean, it really is going to come down to which team I think can make the other team blink in the running game and force the other team's quarterback to win it by throwing it. Now, do I think Trace McSorley can win the game throwing the football? Yes. Do I think Nate Peterman can win the game throwing the football? Yes. But I think it's the first team to get to that I think then has the advantage in the game. And Penn State's going to have to do a very good job in this game against Kadri Henderson in the return game. Blake Gilligan had an excellent opener. Joe Julius on kickoffs had an excellent opener. And when you look at the kickoff that Henderson brought back against Villanova, what stuck out to me right away was just the pure kick itself. It was down the middle and to the 4-yard line. And Henderson was able to take it on the go, go up into the seam, see the opening, and just break through it because he has a great feel for it. But he was able to take it on the go and didn't have to stutter step or anything. It's huge. All right, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our high school football roundtable coming up tomorrow from 3:35 to 4 with our announcers that will call the games on Friday night. Can't believe we're up to the third week of the high school football season. Can't wait to talk to you tomorrow here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.